time for Lickin' On Lending.
Welcome, everybody. Good to have you with us.
Welcome to Lickin' On Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news, all related to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Transformational Mortgage Solutions. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's your host of Lickin' On Lending, David Lickin.
Let's begin.
Welcome, everybody, and Merry Christmas, December 19th, 2022. We're so grateful to have you here. This podcast is created by mortgage professionals. It is for mortgage professionals. And we're so grateful to have you as our listener. Again, our commitment is to bring you timely information, and we've got a lot of it today. Information in an audio format that you can listen to anytime, anywhere. We always have timely information, wouldn't you say? I love each one of the segments. I love the feedback I get from so many of you. And another thing we love is our sponsors. Let's say a big thank you to Candor Technology. I was on a call with Tom Showalter this last week, or right on Friday. It was just one of those conversations. I enjoy conversations with people that have innovative ideas, and every one of our sponsors do, and Candor certainly does, and they're doing some things that you got to hear about, and we're going to be having more podcasts with them, but check out the previous podcasts on our website. Also, Finastra, the Fusion Mortgage Bot solution, personalizes the application path as well as it's based on borrower-specific information, loan type, and much, much more. Check out Finastra. They're doing a great job on what moving into the IMB space in a big, big way. Also, Form Free, talk about innovation. Brent Chandler and the team there does do so much with their auto check that can be used to satisfy Freddie Mac's re-verification of employment. Listen to Brent Chandler talk about it on October 17th when they announced that. And go back and check out that podcast. It was really innovative. Lots of stuff going on at Form Free, along with Total Expert. I had a chance to get together with some of their execs the other day, and I got to tell you, it's the only purpose-built CRM and customer engagement platform that creates growth and loyalty for the lenders and the financial institutions that work with it. Go check out the podcast we did with Dan Catinelli on October 21st. Great conversation there. And then I had a chance with connecting with Ben Miller of Simple Nexus. We recorded a podcast. I got to tell you, some of the things that they're doing and the attitude that goes into Simple Nexus, you wonder why each of these companies that just happen to be our sponsors are the leaders in their sector and the space. It's no wonder. Mark, you and I, we did that call together, that interview, which we're going to be sharing coming up here pretty soon. But you too were pretty impressed with what you heard with Ben.
Positively. I was just kind of blown away with some things that I heard. It was really a great podcast.
Yeah, and we can't wait to share it with you, listeners. So that's going to be coming up. You go check out the one we did with November 2nd with Lori Brewer. That was also interesting. But our other sponsors, we want to say a big shout-out to the Mortgage Bankers Association of America. Be sure to get signed up for the Mortgage Action Alliance app and get signed up for the IMB conference in San Diego at the Great Hotel Del. Love being there. I'm registered for it. And I'm trying to make sure I can make it out there. My wife's surgery is on Wednesday of that week, so I won't be able to stay the whole time. I'm going to be in. It's going to be a quick in and out. TSD replacement surgery, announcing that on the podcast. She'd probably appreciate that. But anyway, we've got that to work with. So I guess I'm soliciting your thoughts and prayers for her. That's not a fun one to do. But anyway, also the Mortgage Collaborative. We've got Mr. Kittle on the line, one of the co-founders of the Collaborative. Mr. Kittle, it's so good to have you here, as well as to have Mortgage Collaborative as a sponsor, as well as Knowledge Coop, as well as Lenders One, another co-op that does a great job, as well as Mobility MMI, Modex, and Mortgage Advisory Tools. We're thrilled to have all of our sponsors here, a part of the podcast. They make it possible. We're grateful to have you here. December 14th, we have previous episodes that we released. Arthur Priestin of the Priestin Capital. That last week, that was a great interview. Encourage you to go back and check out that. It's a way you can insure product that is, it's a fundamentally new way to go about and manage your risk. And especially in the rise of non-QM, but you can go back and insure for a repurchase your entire last 2 years production. You got to listen to that podcast, what it can do. And this week, December 22nd, we have Dwar coming on, and Paul Orlando of Lender Price. And we're talking about how lenders can best leverage technology to drive opportunity now and in the future. And it's leveraging their technology. Again, Mark, you participated with that. It was one of those interviews that I was really excited about. Thoughts? Reflections? Mark, you went away. Okay, well, anyway, it was a good interview. Check it out. And then
no,
Denver,
it didn't go away. Sorry, couldn't push the mute button fast enough. That podcast was also very interesting. And, you know, it's as I told you, David, being around the industry a long time, I thought I knew a lot of things, and I do know a lot of things. But it's amazing how much I get enlightened in these interviews we do and talking to these people. The technology that we have in the industry today just blows me away in some aspects that I fully did not understand how in-depth it was. So it's really fascinating to have these calls and work with these folks.
Yeah, it is always fun. I first ran into this company when they were at the MBA because one of the investors that was there that's invested in Lender Price is none other, Mr. Kittle, you can say it, because you got to sit at the table with him. Mr. Kittle, are you there?
Yes.
He's muted.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Dave. I didn't know you were coming to me. Yeah, I think
Kevin Costner. Yeah, it was really fun to see Kevin, you and sitting at the table. You were like buds there, and we were all, everyone was around Kevin. But he is one of the investors.
That was at the 2017 MBA up in Boston.
Yeah,
as a matter of fact.
Boston, yes, it was. It was a really good conference, and it was great to meet them. And they launched – well, they've actually been around a little bit longer than that, but they came and they showed up, and Kevin Costner was there. It was really interesting. He actually took the interest to go in and check out our industry and what it is about. He's given some great guidance. Kevin Costner is not only a great actor, but the guy is a smart businessman. So he invests in the right companies. So check out our interview on December 22nd, also December 23rd. We've got Cheryl Knockel is coming on for Candor Technologies. And we're talking about the simple loan quality services and what is on the horizon for 2023 for Candor. So, again, encourage you to listen to the podcast we recorded with Sarah. I am just so thrilled for each one of our sponsors. I want to give a special shout out to our regulars, Adam DeSantis, Les Parker. I was talking to Les over the weekend. I tell you, did you know that I gave him a bad time, Matt, about being off, just slightly off pitch on that? Here's your comment. I got a lot of feedback on your comment. You can always tell someone who says they have perfect pitch. How do you know? Because they tell you. That was hilarious. Your comments are sometimes drive you. That's so good. But do you know, Matt, that Les records that off of memory? He doesn't listen to it in the background. And I was blown away. He says, looking, hey, just for the record, I try to match it pretty well. Matt, Les is one of those guys with near perfect pitch. If he doesn't have perfect pitch, it's really, really close. But he does it from memory. So he listens to the song, and then he records that segment, not with it playing. So it's done separately. That made me go, are you serious? Even more so. We're going to get to his segment. I mean, that's pretty impressive, Matt. But I did get lots of feedback from listeners. And your comment they thought was just perfect. Anyway. We got Mr. Kittle here. Matt, you already heard his voice. We're so glad to have you, Matt. Alice Alvey, Alan Pollock, and Mark Helm. So let's get on and so get over to the MBA with Adam DeSantis and listen to what the MBA's Mortgage Minute has for us today. Adam?
Hi, I'm Adam DeSantis. This is the Mortgage Minute, the latest news from the Mortgage Bankers Association. Here's what you need to know. Last week, MBA submitted a letter to FHFA advocating for an increase to the current area median income thresholds for Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac's low down payment programs. Raising the area median income threshold for these loans would expand eligibility to a segment of the population that can meet the monthly obligation of a mortgage payment but does not have access to capital for a traditional down payment. This was highlighted as one of the main barriers to homeownership for underserved borrowers in the GSE's Equitable Housing Finance Plans. MBA will continue its efforts to address the current affordable housing crisis and to close the racial homeownership gap, and will engage with FHFA on this and other critically important housing finance issues. And finally, don't forget, MBA's Independent Mortgage Bankers Conference is just around the corner. We're about a month away now, taking place on Coronado Island on January 23rd through the 26th. Register today at mba.org. That's it for this week. Thank you for listening.
Yes. Hotel Del, it's an experience for the IMB conference. If you haven't ever been there, You got to come on out. It is that hotel is, I used to live in San Diego. I had two mortgage companies back in the day, back in a long, long time ago. It's hard to believe it's nearly 30 years ago now, but it was a while back. And we had two mortgage companies back to back down there. And so we were always out at the Hotel Del, and we just loved going out there for weekends and such a classy place. I love some of these old, old hotels. There's also one up on Mackinac Island. Alice, what's the name of that hotel there that you and I went to
I don't remember.
Remember, we're up on the island, Mackinac Island.
The Grand Hotel.
Grand Hotel,
oh,
yes.
The Grand Hotel, the big one with the porch and all the rockers.
Yeah, that's right. The Hotel Del and Del Coronado and the Grand up there on Mackinac Island are kind of that same vintage. They're built around the same time. They're just like historical pieces, and they've kept them up. So anyway, Adam Sanctus, thank you so much for the MBA Mortgage Minute. Let's get over to Les Parker and get a macro view of the markets. Again, Les, sign up for his TM Spotlight newsletter. We'll tell you how to do that in just a minute. But Les Parker, what did you a cappella sing for us today? Can't wait to hear the music parody. Appreciate it. Here it is.
TM Spotlight Soundbites is brought to you by Power Seller, making hedging easy.
Oh, the inverted curve is frightful, but the Fed is so delightful. And since we no place to go, let it slow, let it slow, let it slow.
Slow economic growth is upon us, with winter just starting. Last week, the Bank of England, Swiss National Bank, and the ECB joined the Fed in raising rates, with more to come. Central banks' massive tightening is yet to fully make its way through the global economy. As a result, expect 30-year mortgage rates to drop at least another 50 basis points through the Fed's induced freeze.
The Fed now slowly rising, and it's time to see goodbye. But as long as Jay loves us so, let it slow, let it slow, let it slow.
These views are my own. No slow and good buying at tmspotlight.com.
Yeah. Alice, he nailed it that time. Matt.
Wow.
Can you believe he brought
the A game 110%. That was, yeah.
Right in the holiday
clearly backed into a corner by your jibbing last week and had to set you straight.
He did say he really appreciated your comeback comment on me last week when I was talking to him over the weekend. He said, I really appreciate him. He's listening. He always listens live here. So he dials in, he kind of smiles. He likes the spotlight, but he also kind of likes slipping around behind the scenes and said, okay, let's see what they do with this one. Anyway, sign up for Les Parker's TM Spotlight newsletter. You can sign up for the paid version for free by putting in the code word power or Power Seller. Put it in there and you'll get a paid version of the letter. Great newsletter, great content. And yes, I read it, Les Parker. He always says, you don't ever read my newsletter. I said, yes, I do. Maybe not as consistently as I like, but I really try not to miss it because it's got so much great information. But talk about someone who's got great information. It's Matt Graham, founder and CEO of MBSLive.net here with us with a market update. What happened, Mark? I'm looking at I came in the screen and going, there's just like this, looks like a quantum leap up there. like the reindeer trying to take off or something off of a rooftop. I mean, what the heck? 19th this morning, we opened up a little bit of a jump up. I mean, not huge, huge, but it was significant messing around with things. What's going on?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I assume you're talking to me, not Mark. You said Mark, but if you want his opinion, he'll give it to you.
Thank you. I did that the other day. Mark caught me. But Matt.
No problem. I was just making sure I was the one you wanted to hear from. Just making sure.
Matt. Yes.
So let's get down to business, Dave.
All right.
So I'm less worried about today because I think it's more of an afterthought. I mean, we have entered the holiday mode for bond markets and especially for the mortgage market. You know, MBS and mortgages much more so than treasuries rely on a core group of people being in the office and participating. And so when the holidays hit, every little inconsistency in staffing levels in capital markets has an inordinate impact on MBS compared to treasuries. But it's a factor for treasuries as well, for stocks, everything. So we're expecting, you know, a good amount of random inconsequential volatility over the next 2 weeks. and not really tuning in until that first jobs report in January. And that'll be the first time that we're really looking to see where things are starting out in 2023. And this is a little bit of an odd comment because, you know, we have PCE, the Fed's preferred inflation index, coming up at the end of this week. But I think that because that is on Friday, is it? Yeah. Because that's on Friday and that's a half day, nobody's going to be around. I mean, it could be a tree falling in the woods. It might be significant at some other time, but nobody's even in the woods. The woods don't even exist. The woods are, they've all burned down by that time. But I digress. So the important things that happened last week, and we were looking forward to last week with fervor for over a month because Tuesday played host to the most recent CPI data, Consumer Price Index. That is the big market mover on any given month in 2022 because it's the first broad-based major government inflation report that comes out on any given month, and it's created the biggest market movement of any other report. Jobs report, doesn't matter, CPI. So not only did we have CPI on Tuesday, then we had the Fed the following day, so we knew we were going to get sort of a narrative either defining, confirming, rejecting sentiment from those two events combined. And I guess we kind of did, but then the result ended up being a little anticlimactic. CPI came in lower than forecast, nicely so, just a tenth of a percent, but that's an important tenth at the core level because the previous reading of 0.3 was half the size of that 0.6 reading of the previous month. And this report, even if it had come in on target at 0.3, would have essentially confirmed that inflation is undergoing a shift, to whatever extent two reports can confirm that. And I think that, you know, all you have to go on is what you have in front of you right now. And while we had some yeah buts back in July regarding, you know, a temporary blip in fuel prices that may be distorting inflation and giving us some false hope, this time around we don't have those sorts of things to fall back on. And it's very good. The bond market thought it was very good. Very big rally on Tuesday. And then the Fed ended up creating a trading range in the bond market that fell completely inside of Tuesday's range. You could tune in, you could look at it under a microscope and get the sense that there was some drama going on in the bond market. But really, the trading range on Fed day was about half of the trading range on CPI day. And bond yields haven't been outside of that CPI trading day range since then. And let's call that roughly, you know, 3.42 to 3.62 in terms of 10-year treasury yields. Mortgage rates ended up finding their best levels in more than 3 months, just a little bit lower than the lows in the previous week. And that was pretty much it for the week after the Fed announcement. Retail sales and Philly Fed and New York Fed on Thursday morning helped sort of offset a negative reaction to the European Central Bank rate hike and the quantitative tightening announcement, but there too, still inside that same trading range. It is important to note, I suppose, on you know, an ongoing basis looking forward, that those sorts of economic anecdotes will play into the sense that things have shifted and the Fed is looking at the economy as well as inflation to see what sort of ill effects its tight policies are creating. And it's still going to all be predicated on inflation. But if there is a little bit of wiggle room in their interpretation of inflation, it will be more rate friendly to whatever extent economic data suggests they're really having a negative impact. So looking forward to this week, like I said, we can't read too much into any market movement unless it goes outside that range and if it seems tied to something specific. So it's just sort of there. We're going to be able to digest some updates in housing market data. Housing starts tomorrow. We have builder confidence out already this morning. One interesting thing on builder confidence is it's fallen for 12 straight months. We know it's in the toilet, but the six-month outlook finally bounced and moved a little bit higher. So maybe there's a sign of a bottoming out process there for builder confidence. And it wouldn't be the craziest thing to consider with how much rates have fallen in the past 2 months. Wednesday, consumer confidence, existing home sales. Thursday, leading indicators, final GDP, really inconsequential by the time we get to that final revision. And then markets close early for Christmas Eve on the 23rd, even though that's not Christmas Eve. We get to observe the early close for that, and core PCE will be out at 8:30. Won't matter for markets. And then new home sales is also scheduled for 10 a.m. on Friday morning. That's all I got for today, Dave.
Like you said, will you hear a tree? If no one's there to listen to it, will the tree falling in the woods, even a big one, be heard? I don't think there's going to be a lot of reaction this week. So, but they still need to have your screens. You know why? There's a lot of great content on there. Your commentary.
Yeah, we might talk about holiday recipes too. You just don't know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So is it, you know, what goes into like peppermint schnapps or some really good, you know, really good, you know, drinks too. That's what Kittle's always talking about. He's always putting together some major concoction of a martini. This is my martini for the holidays. Yeah. So anyway, what are you going to be doing for the holidays, Matt? You going to be up there, up on the farm and enjoying some quiet
up on the
time?
Farm. Yeah. Probably repairing some fencing and chasing some deer away from my plants.
Yeah. I remember having acreage. That was just so much fun. And nailing up the failing fencing that came down. My horses would get up against it, rub against it, and because they'd overeat in the field, and they just want to go rub it off. Anyway, have a great Christmas to you, Matt. So grateful to have you here. You and your personality and your humor, it adds so much. It's such a wonderful contrast to my personality. I love you. And I love your screen.
Happy holidays, Dave.
Yeah, happy holidays to you too, bud. Sign up for mbslive.net by going to the website, mbslive.net, and putting in the code LOL code to sign up for this extended trial period. I hear Kittle in the background. We were giving you a bad time about the holiday drinks. Do you have a special martini, Mr. Kittle?
Yeah, I'm sorry, but I can't talk to you right now. I'm shaking one. So,
you're shaking up one of the...
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
A little early.
Yeah. How did that interview go? I want to hear about the interview.
Meeting with Doug went great.
Doug Duncan, you recorded that. When is that being released?
It's on the website now, so you can go to the TMC website.
Oh,
you know, in the Mortgage Collaborative, every year we have what's called the 12 Days of TMC, and yep. Rich and Tom and Faith and the team, just they do a fabulous job with that. We had record numbers this year register for it, and it's you know, several different podcasts over 12 business days. And I interviewed Doug first part of last week, Doug Duncan, and Fannie Mae's chief economist. And he and I go way back, I guess over 30 years. He was chief economist for MBA. I take one thing out of what he said, and I think I sent you guys the link so you can listen to it.
Yes.
Is that besides he thinks, and this isn't it, but he thinks inflation will be down towards the end of the year, maybe cut in half by the end of the year, which is a good thing if things hold the way they're going. And, of course, the Fed did slow its increases, mm-hmm. you know, from 75 to 50. And there is no, as I mentioned last week, there's only one more Fed meeting between now and March 15th because of the way they've scheduled them out. So they're going to be digesting a lot of data for their March 15th meeting. They have one February 1st, I believe. But here's the one thing that he said to me that I kind of gave me pause, that he believes that we are in a decade, the next decade, 10 years, it will be a solid nothing but purchase market, no mm-hmm. refinance. So he doesn't think rates as things stand today, and, you know, certainly – they can change many times over that. But that was his prediction, that we're in a purchase market for 10 years. So if you're running an IMB, big or small, whatever business, and you do strategic planning, there it is.
There it is.
How do you survive in a purchase market? And I thought that was very telling for Doug to go that far out and say we're in a purchase market, David.
For 10 years, yeah. Well, one thing that when I talked to Les Parker over the weekend, he also said, you know, you pay attention to Doug. He said he just won an award. I wish I'd written down what the award is he just won. But Les Parker says it's equivalent to, for economists, to the Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, Doug is one of the most respected economists out there and has a crazy, wonderful sense of humor. Just wonderful sense of humor, but also one of the most accurate economists out there. So when you hear someone who has won the awards he has say that we're going to have a purchase market, you may say like, oh, duh. Well, I don't know about you. I've thought that, but I love having the fact that Doug Duncan, celebrated economist, says that, which means we have some really good years ahead. I mean, there's, you look at the demographics. I talk about that all the time on the podcast. Take a look at millennials. Look at the home ownership levels. That means for those of us who get good at doing purchase business, for those of you, I'm not in the business, we consult with lenders, but for those of you in the business, learning how to do purchase business is essential to your survival and forming those relationships. And there's some, again, we go back to our sponsors, go pay attention to each one of our sponsors. Not going to go through them all again. Each one of them has a strategy to make that really effective for you. David Kittle, so good. Go back to mixing up your martini in the background. Shake it.
You're giving me a bad reputation, but I'm going to do it. So thanks.
Yeah.
So Merry Christmas to you and everybody. So
Mr. Kittle, I have it's Mark. I got a question for you, if I could.
Yes, sir.
What do you think? I agree with what Doug said. Okay, I have no problem with that. But I've also seen this thing when we have these market adjustments to a rate like we've had, where there are some refis come into play, and depending on which way the interest rates are going, we have a lot of people going from fixed to ARM, and sometimes people going from ARM back to fixed because the rates tighten up together some. Do you think we'll see some of that, or you think people will just be holding out for the home run that's not going to happen?
Well, that's a great question, and I don't have a definitive answer to. But, you know, when you get in markets like this, is there going to be some refi? Of course. There's always some out there for whatever particular reason that people need when they need to get cash out, even if they have to do it and it's not advantageous for them. But I think it's overall what he's saying is there is a horrible lack quality inventory. I mean, we have an inventory problem and have had in this country for years, and we have an affordable housing crisis. You know, it's tough for the young people to enter this market.
Yeah.
And so that's why he thinks that it's a long-term purchase. I think it's great for our industry. It gets the professionals in it and the people that just get in it for refi to make what they can and get out. You know, please leave. I want long-term professionals in this business.
Yep, that's what we need.
Take care of customers and structure the loans.
Yep, do it for be in the business.
Amen. Amen.
Yep, good point. Great question, Mark. Alice just texted me. Alice, thank you for doing that. She's so good at doing. Doug won the Lawrence Klein Award. It's the Blue Chip Forecasting Award. Alice, thank you for looking that up and bring that to our attention. Appreciate that. Doug is a celebrated economist. Let's take some time to talk about this. I know, David, you may be getting a call you're getting pulled off to. So I wanted to get to your report right away, and then I want to talk about the economy, looking at interest rates, Les Parker's report, Matt, your report, and just kind of get a little sense. As we get into the holidays, we're watching a little bit of a climb, Matt, right now on your screens. We're seeing that. But Les Parker, Alice, he brought it up. He says, I can't wait for Alice to say this, but I'm going to go ahead and give it a jump. He says, remember, I predicted 6 months ago that interest rates would be down 100 basis points. Guess what? They're down exactly 100 basis points. Alice, one more time. Les Parker has come out and been accurate. You wrote it down, I'm sure. And even he brought it to my attention. So or as we were talking over the weekend, as he was talking about his being as close to perfect pitch as he could be. So anyway, it was good. But as you're listening to all of this, Alice, any thoughts that as we go into the head towards the end of the year and production?
No, but my one thought is I wrote down what Matt said. So next time somebody brings up that the market's volatile, I'm going to say it's random inconsequential volatility.
Ah,
that was a great line.
It's the best defense. How is anyone going to argue with it?
That's right.
Have them prove otherwise.
That's
right.
I'm not going to get this right because I'm going to do it on the fly. But what was Doug's line say? If you're going to predict the future, you can say where it's going, but don't give a date. But if you give a date, don't say exactly where it's going or something like that. I forget the line.
I butchered that. Yeah. I think it's pretty close to being accurate, the principle on that. Matt, your thoughts on as you were looking at the end of the year, how are you feeling about – I know you're really good and disciplined. I love this about you, Matt. You stay in your swim lane. I don't predict where rates go, so I leave it to the Duncans of the world and Les Parkers of the world. But, you know, as we go into it, do we have reason for hope as we head into the new year?
Oh, yeah. Not only reason for hope, but hope for refis, too. I wholeheartedly disagree there won't be a good amount of refis, but I'll qualify that by saying it's going to depend on the amount of purchases, because if we have a solid purchase market with rates at, say, 5%, then if you show me that, then I will show you a refi boom when rates hit 3%. If rates hit 3%, and, you know, there's every reason to believe they can. My biggest wild card there is the Fed's sentiment about mortgage rates now after being burned so badly by their own sort of ignorance in 2021. And don't get me wrong, I don't like or dislike the Fed. I think that they are probably remorseful about how they handled their MBS participation in 2021. And they're probably realizing, well, they're certainly realizing that they contributed to overly hot house prices in 21 and early 22. And I think their rhetoric about talking about MBS sales sort of relates to that. And we have to wonder in the future, will they trot out this MBS selling idea if they perceive mortgage rates to be getting so low that it's starting to make things a little bit frothy in the real estate sector? So that's a little bit of an unknown as to how low rates would get in the next rate-friendly cycle. But as long as they're a percent under where everybody bought their homes, that's a good refi pool. We have still a ton of equity out there, even after a little price correction. That's a good refi pool. When rates fall lower, you know, people are going to want to consolidate that debt. So I know cash out has been getting more expensive. At the same time, if rates go low enough, that's definitely going to create some interest. Anything like it was in 2020 through 2021? No, that's pretty epic. And past refi booms, also more epic. But certainly something healthy is, and more than incidental, is possible. And I think rates can certainly go lower, should go lower. I think the baseline that in the back of everybody's mind is, you know, rates were going to go as high as they were going to go in 2022. There were a lot of guesses about how high that was going to be. And it looks like they probably turned, almost certainly turned, and barring more weird surprises about some, I don't know, some uncanny staying power on the part of economic strength and inflation, then rates should continue to go lower. I don't know exactly how much, but, you know, we're talking in a range. A rate that begins with a 3% is probably a good call on the low end. Fours, certainly, and then we've already seen high fives at the end of 2022, so that's already obviously possible. But threes and fours, best case, by the end of 2023, probably not a whole lot more upward pressure unless something crazy happens.
Yep. That's a great point. Mr. Kittle had to drop already. We run over to get his thoughts, but he raised a question mark or used the word, what is the death rate? What is the rate which therefore kills off the mortgage volume? And we found those levels, but where does it really start coming back to life again? Any sense for that, Mark? I'll come back to you, Matt, with the same question, Matt.
I think and I've looked at the market, you know, my whole 48 years in the industry, and I will have to tell you that I think that I agree when Matt was talking about the, you know, 5 to 3, you know, that's typically what it's out there. But I also think that some things are somewhat cyclical, and they change around. Like we've got in Houston right now, we've got Exxon relocating. And so people are selling houses and people are refinancing here to move out of their houses and refinancing their loans and moving out of their houses and buying another house to open up so they can sell their more expensive house to Exxon people moving in town and whatnot. So we've got a lot of things like that happening that are going to drive the market and keep the market strong in certain areas. I foresee two things happening in the industry. I foresee the FHA and VA market getting stronger. I'm seeing a lot of VA lenders that are cohabitating right outside of military base to catch people in the military to really drive the VA market. And I also see the reverse mortgage market really taking off for everybody, any and everybody that's getting to be 62 years old, because that market is a refinance market mainly, because what it does, it effectively has purchase too, but what effective does is refinances a balance into a non-AM mortgage so that the borrower has no payments anymore. And when people go to let fixed income on Social Security, they might need some help on that. So I think there's a lot of drivers to the market that's going to help. But I generally agree with the synopsis that Matt gave about the 2% spread there, that refis will come back when that happens. And I believe our market will go up and down quite a bit over the next couple of years, especially with the political environment we're getting ready to go through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the part that Matt's always out there. Is the wild card is, you know, some of the macroeconomic events is the globe is more of the political scene. What's the word I'm searching for? Then it's not necessarily economic data. It's geopolitics. So.
Yeah.
So true. Very true, Mark. Now back to you, Matt, with a T. Let you wrap this thing up. I appreciate you. And what is the death rate? Where was the sense from all the chat boards you have and all the comments there? Where was the rate where things just said, okay, everyone went away at this level? What was that?
Sure, yeah. Well, as somebody that bought a house when rates were over 7%, I can tell you, you really need to want to buy that house at those kind of rates.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
You also need to have some measure of belief that they're going to come back down, because people that buy at those rates don't necessarily want to keep paying them. And yes, I know all of you old people who are older than me have seen higher rates, right? I get it. But everything's relative to income and inflation and all the rest of it.
I was waiting for you to chuckle on that. We're old, Matt, Mark. Matt's calling us a bunch of old fogies. That's all right,
Matt.
That
cut us off at the knees, didn't it, David? That cut us off at the knees real bad.
Real quick.
No, I mean, you know, that's always been a favorite line of mine, especially as I get into my 40s. I can still do it. Once I'm in my 60s, probably not so much anymore.
Not so much.
But, you know, everything's relative on rates. The internet sort of loves to say, well, I remember when rates were in the double digits. I'm sure you do. The other things were different then, too. But, yeah, I think, look, let's get back to the core of your answer without getting too far in the weeds. Certainly anything over 7%, if the index rate's over 7. And I think the 6s really slow things down in this day and age as well with these home prices and these income levels. 5, I think, is, you know, we could do some good things in the 5.
Yeah, we can. And certainly the 4s, we start seeing things start going like, oh, okay, time to get back in it.
Yeah.
But to Kittle's point earlier, even though he's not here honoring something he said, and it's whatever's here, let's make sure we have the true professionals here that are not just here to opportunistically take advantage of the market that's here. We're seeing a cleansing of our industry, and that is always the case, Matt. Thank you so much. Matt, you got a great website. Sign up for it, everybody. Go in there. Go to mbslive.net. Go put in the code LOL. You'll get an extended trial period. Matt, Merry Christmas to you. Appreciate you. Very grateful.
Merry Christmas.
You betcha. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah to all of those out there with the Jewish faith as well. I was thinking about them earlier when I said Merry Christmas at the beginning of the podcast. Alice Alvey is here. We got Alan Pollock here, too. He just recently bought a home, but we'll come to you in just a minute, Alan. We'll get over to Alice and get an update on the legislative update. Alice Alvey, who's CMB Vice President of Education and Training at Union Home Mortgage. With this week's legislative update, much, you know, you've had some great reports here recently, some really pretty interesting stuff. Is this a slow week, or do we have some more significant stuff, Alice?
Well, I think we've got another good one that came out of FHA.
Oh, good.
So, FHA issued a new mortgagee letter, 22-22, easy to remember, for years. As, I did consulting across the country with FHAs. It was always a difference of opinion on whether you as a loan officer could have dual employment on an FHA loan. So could you be the realtor and the loan officer on an FHA deal? Or could you even carry your real estate license if you were working for an FHA lender? Because the guide was unclear, and it was one of those things, and no offense to FHA, but you would call the HOC, and you would always have to have an odd number of people to call, and whichever answer you got more of, then that's the one that the lender would go with. Or you'd try Philly and Santa Ana and see if you got the same answer. But it was just one of those areas that over time, a lot of lenders did not treat the same way, and that always creates an unplaying field out there. So what was great about this mortgagee letter is it states square up that a conflict of interest is just about who's making the loan decision. So this is a big one for those who were at a company that took a very conservative view on this or hadn't opened up the guide and looked at it in a while and thought that's just the way it was. So this is a new change that as an underwriter you can't. That part's not a change. It's always been if you were making a loan decision or you were the appraiser and inspector on the property, you could not also be the realtor or also be the loan officer. You can't have dual compensation when you have those roles. So it's great that this came out and clarified that. So I think that's a big win for companies who are still riding on the conservative side of that one. And then as we reported last week, VA does have a proposed rule out there on the interest rate reduction refinance loans. And the MBA, you know, I have to be careful. This particular letter that I'm looking at might be in draft form still that they're circulating through one of the committees and isn't actually published yet from what I can tell. Yeah, okay. This is not published yet. But the MBA has a good response for a lot of detail that are super important about these things that are being proposed in the VA interest rate reduction refinance proposal. So VA is proposing that this net tangible benefit, as an example, is that we always do a payment comparison on a VA rate reduction. Here's your old payment. Here's your new payment. And we look at, are you going to be able to recoup the cost of the closing costs within the next 3 years? Well, the VA is proposing we now disclose that upfront and again at closing. And the Mortgage Bankers Association is looking at all the details that go with that. I can't be that accurate, you know, that early in the application when it comes to calculating recoupment. I don't have an appraisal yet. You know, what are the standards that we're going to be held by to accuracy for this letter is a great thought that we need to respond on as lenders. Also, is it really necessary to disclose it again? And then what are the rules with that? You know, this doesn't fall under TRID where we fall back to that, and goodness knows we don't want that. But, you know, so I don't know if VA thought this through all the way or they were hoping that we would think it through and make sure they addressed all of those details. So, look forward to that kind of a response from MBA to pick up on all those concerning details about trying to put this in place. Another component is temporary buy-downs are a big product now, or mm-hmm. I should say growing product. I don't know if big is the right word yet, but definitely one that gets a lot of street talk. And so, if you know, how does that factor into the recoupment calculation that VA does? So it's an important proposal. Comments have to be submitted by January 3rd. So I encourage all lenders to read that. Get your government affairs group or your compliance or FHA experts together and come up with a response. If you're members of the MBA, check in with them to see when they're planning on posting this, and you can just piggyback off of their comments if you're in agreement. But this is a real important one to comment on so we don't get stuck with a lot of extra paperwork for VAs. Yeah.
And risk that is, like they said, you know, how can we be that accurate? Again, if they give us latitude, but I get nervous when they start setting, we have to start trying to be too accurate because it's like, You will have a tendency to play more conservative, and that hurts the veterans in that case. So mm-hmm. I think that's a really good point. Good report, Alice. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
And, well, you're going to be doing a little traveling over the Christmas holiday yourself, as you said.
We are. Our daughter lives out in Annapolis and with her wonderful husband and her grandkids. So we will be spending Christmas week between Christmas and New Year's over with them.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah. Well, enjoy your time. We're heading up to Seattle. I lost my father-in-law over this fall. So we're going to go out and spend the time with my mother-in-law. So I'm going to be there to help her with this Christmas, which will certainly be feeling a sense of loss. And so we'll be doing that as well. So doing a little traveling. But Alice, thank you so much for being here. Merry Christmas. Say hi to Andy. What an amazing guy he is. And we're just so grateful. You guys are like family to me. I appreciate you.
Well, thank you, and happy holidays to all of you, all of our listeners out there, and thank you for your attention to the program, and we love your feedback.
Yes, we do, and send it on, bring it on. We'd love hearing from you. Alan Pollock's talk about feedback we get is his sense of humor.
Uh-oh.
Alan is here with us.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I think that the best one is still the taco funnel.
Yep.
Other than that one, I think that may have hit the high water mark. We'll see if we come up with something. So anyway, Alan, good to have you here. You talk about interest rates. I mean, Matt had a really good point. He says, you know what? when you have to buy or when we have a life event, you will refinance. You'll do something at whatever, no matter where interest rates are at, because you got to do it. You got to pull the trigger. But that does create the refinancing opportunities, which is another point that he brought up. And I was going to mention that, Matt. I thought you hit on a couple of things that was really, really, really good. I have a client that does nothing but refinances, and he just cheers any time you hear someone say, refinancing is dead. He says, please, the focus on purchase, because it just leaves that much more market share for us. And they play off and market to life events. And so keep that in mind. I agree with Doug Duncan, just generally speaking, you know, it's going to be a purchase market, but that certainly doesn't mean you shouldn't be looking for those refinance opportunities as they appear. Okay, that said, Alan, what you got, friend?
Oh, man. Well, I of course, have a Christmas joke, but I've got some other wonderful, interesting things. And back on what David said about Doug Duncan's forecast, you know, 10 years purchase market, I quickly went to Google. And, you know, there's all different economists out there that all have very different opinions. But I think this, the opinion that is probably common between everybody is that, you know, we are in a slowdown of increased values, meaning that, right, if anything's still going to reduce in property value, it's going to likely be, and remember, I'm not a trained forecaster or have any really good experience other than the tech side, but I read a lot. And so a lot of folks are saying that, you know, the increase in home prices slowed down, it will continue to slow down, and there may even still be some home values that drop, possibly in certain areas, because there's not enough borrowers, or there's not enough demand. But second is that clearly a different type of borrower, right? Like David was mentioning, how are these new home buyers going to get into the market if the prices stay where they are? I hope personally, David, that at least when my 5-6 arm is up, that either the first rate reset period is going to be really good, or that at least I can get a refinance. So we have 5 years to think through it.
Yeah.
So anyway,
I think you bet well on the arm, because I think there's more of a downward pressure and then upward pressure in the interest rates. So I think you bet well, friend.
Yeah, for sure. So I've got all kinds of, these are great. These are like more dad jokes. I'll only give you one or two of them because we'll move on to some other great content. But I always cut Mark short of time as well, so it'd be nice to give him some extra time. What a snowman eat, David, for dessert? It's Ice Krispies. And
that's good.
Yeah, there's some good ones here. These are definitely dad jokes. What do you get when you cross a snowman with a vampire? Frostbite.
And, oh, that's okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and the last one, just in case anyone needs a good meeting starter, what does Santa suffer from if he gets stuck in a chimney? And it's claustrophobia.
Wow.
All right.
Okay. Yeah,
let's move on.
All right. Yeah.
So today's focus, you know, we keep talking about, you know, how to train your tech for next year, all this wonderful stuff, right? Let's talk about some fun things, some analytics first. Christmas analytics. I thought this was kind of interesting. At first, I saw a post, David, about what is the trend of what holiday movie is the best, and I realized it was a couple of years old, but one of their topics was, is Die Hard really a Christmas movie? And they showed all this data, and they showed how Die Hard actually came out higher than other very popular Christmas movies. So, but it was too old, and I didn't want to bring it up. So I just thought some interesting stats. Top Christmas holiday retail category. Now, this is the reason I mentioned these, folks. This is data, right? This is what you should be doing with your business, and we'll talk a little bit more today. So some quick stats, all from data. Top Christmas holiday retail categories for shoppers, 73% of clothing and accessories, 70% of food and beverages, and 65% at toys and hobbies, and then there's some other ones. Believe it or not, electronics is on the lower side, under 50%.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah, but when people plan to buy things for themselves during the Christmas holidays, you know what the number one thing is? It's food or liquor. So I don't think that'll ever change. Clothing comes in second.
Certainly mortgage bankers are looking at the liquor side of things to mitigate for this and the market conditions we've been in possibly. That may be accurate. That's
absolutely right. All right, so let's talk about a couple cool things. So the first one is, I really like this one, by the way. Not only do I like these guys, but I also went through the process myself, and it made me kind of realize that we don't give enough attention to it. But Matic, if you guys remember Matic was a very hot technology when they first entered the market, external of mortgage. They actually won the TechCrunch Award, going up against many companies in many different industries. That was probably about 5 years ago. They're a proprietary technology that matches insurance companies together as an interface for the borrower, and they do it in all 50 states. Well, Superior Loan Servicing. So interesting, right? On the servicing side, they just implemented Matic's proprietary system. And so now servicing organizations can look to provide additional value to their borrowers. So I thought that was really cool. You know, even myself looking for insurance, it was difficult. Who to call, how to understand the rates. There wasn't any good comparison. You go by a referral. And it's one of those things that are external to the mortgage process. So you may not realize how important it is and how good it would be to let your borrowers feel like everything was there for them and they can recommend you to their friends and neighbors, especially in a time like this. Take a look at Matic. There's some other ones out there as well. But I like their tech, and they've always done a really good job. So hats off to them on that one. Second one, David, this was interesting. This was an article. So we all know Sue Woodard. Article, it was Stratmore. The article was from July 14th, but it was called Boosting Tech Adoption, Especially Among MLOs, How Top Executives Share Their Best Tips. And there was 3 points, and now she brought in 3 different opinions, but I just short-circuited to the 3 points that were in there, and these are great. The first one is involve your LOs in the decision-making process. So this is how to boost tech adoption across, especially across MLOs. So involve your LOs in the tech-making decision. The next one is let people know what it does and how it will solve a problem for them. Mm-hmm. And the final one, you're ready, is know your users. So for the 3 individuals she brought into her article, fantastic opinions, couldn't agree more. The reality is, yes, you need to know your users. And off the heels of that comment, David, get this. I got a brand new, absolutely brand new acronym for us. It's not do what you want or know what to do with technology. It is ICP. I didn't make this up. It's a real thing. It's called the Ideal Customer Profile.
Ah.
So again, that's ICP.
Yeah.
And what it means that you should be doing is finding similarities between top customers. Okay, so we're talking about data. That's why I brought up all the Christmas data. It's also about analyzing and interactive planning with that data in a document. Create a strategic plan based on those similarities and that data, and craft your go-to-market strategy, and then you can continue to activate and further your ICP plan. So in short, what does that mean? It means use data and analytics on your customer interactions. There's a lot of ways to do this. It could be Google Analytics. It could be other platforms. It could be just getting data. Talk to your vendors. Get raw data. Put it in Excel. You can look at when people start. When people finish, how long they spend, where do they drop off? You can look at, you know, how many times do you wind up having to go back and ask for the divorce decree? Well, maybe, your people are skipping that question. So data is huge. You're looking at the customer journey, and you're looking at the customer experience analytics.
Well,
so at the end of the day, understand ICP, what are your ideal customer profile? And it may be just about marketing. It may not be about once you get them in the funnel. It could be pure, early entry, top of funnel. And then the final thing is don't forget about your internal users, right? What is their behavior and how they use your system? And do you have the right tools and the context for them to do their job well?
Yeah.
So it's a whole topic, David. We can go really far
on it.
It's
a whole topic.
But, ultimately, technology drives us, and we have to understand how to use it, make sure we're using it efficiently.
Yeah, and I think you raised a really good point because there's so much data in front of us, and we don't even really appreciate the data that's there and how it can be used, whether it's analyzing our processes or how we're analyzing our borrowers' behavior. How can we create a better experience? And there are some lenders out there, I'm going to leave them, not mention any names, that do that extraordinarily well, where they do pay attention to it. And that is going to be one of the determining factors as you look forward into 2023 and beyond, is who's going to be the survivors and thrivers. versus those just hanging on by their fingernails or going out,
right.
out of business.
Yeah.
It's great point. Really good stuff. Excellent. Let's get around for some commentary real quickly on that. Alice, any thoughts on what Alan brought up? Love the thought of data. And you love data, Alice.
I do. So I will have to admit that I don't have anything new to add. I love the report. And I'm
good.
I don't have anything new to add on that one right now. Sorry, I'm at a loss for words at the moment.
Yeah, that's rare. Mark, what are you listening to this? You're another
very good information, and I'll tell you one thing that appeals to me that Alan talked about that I think everybody will pay attention to, and that is do never underestimate the value of analytics in your business.
Mm-hmm.
And he proved that through the examples he put there today, and it's always good to know what your competition's doing, what the market's doing, what your vendors are doing, and how people approach things from different ways and different angles, because the goal is to be the best that you can be. And if you don't do those things, you're never going to be the best you can be.
And that's really partnering with the right.
That's a good point.
Yeah, great point. And it's partnering with the right technology firms. And are they helping you with that? Alan, I think that's a big opportunity, a missed opportunity many tech firms don't take advantage of is, hey, look at all the data we have. Lori Brewer is doing that over at Simple Nexus. She's got some products, and you and I both know Lori real, real well, Alan, and we both have tremendous respect for her, and which is why Simple Nexus bought her company, LBAware. But, I mean, there's some things that she just thinks out of the box. She's quietly always there listening to conversations going, I wonder where the data is on that. I wonder where I can find that. And that she's just always innovating with that kind of stuff. Same thing with Brent Chandler over there at with all our sponsors over there with Form Free. Anyway, good stuff.
Yeah,
Alan,
David, instead of TGIM t-shirts, because that's your typical that's the David Licken way to start off your week is thank God it's Monday. But maybe we need to get some data junkie t-shirts.
Ooh, that would be a good one. Yeah, I'm a data junkie. Yeah, very good. Yes, I could go.
Well, Merry Christmas, David, to you, your family, and to all
of
our listeners. Alice said it best, so just ditto to everything that Alice said.
Yeah. Alice, we got so many great contributors to this podcast. Alan, you being one of them. Alice, certainly. And, of course, Matt has had to drop out. David Kittle, he's on a conference call. But, Mark, let you wrap up this podcast with and you're reflecting the thoughts. You usually have some great commentary. As you listen.
I usually love to comment, and I am going to comment. I'm going to – sorry, Mr. Licken's not on the phone call with us, but I want to make a comment he made. You know, he talked last week and this week about the industry kind of cleansing itself. So when we go into a purchase market, not of a refi market, a lot of companies might go away. It probably should go away in our market. Well, there's one other thing that's going to happen, and that thing is it's an in-depth part of the company, and that is – some loan officers are going to go away. If loan officers don't teach themselves how to sell, they're not going to be successful in the new market, because refis has kind of walked in the door in many cases, and you know you have to sell to a purchase on a purchase market most of the time. So I think that's very important. But I want to point out something about our podcast that I focus on, and it's one of the reasons I like participating in it, and I was so honored that David asked me to join it. We are the gift of this time of the year that keeps on giving. We give the access to new technology. We give the access to best practices. We give the access to not only best practices, but also things that you might not have thought about, like the overview of regulations and how you need to be operating your business and how it's going to change, and statistics to manage your business and manage what you expect is going to happen around you. So we like being that gift that keeps on giving all year long. It doesn't start in December. It doesn't end in January. It happens 12 months a year. And as long as you, the people listening in on this podcast, continue to listen, we'll continue to give that gift. And we hope you reap as much out of it as we have during our careers. I think I'll close with that, David.
That's a great comment. Mark, I appreciate you so much saying what you did. You and I have both been in the industry. You know, I'm 50 years. I think you're 48 years. So been a long time. But we're all learning. And I think that's what we have to be as an industry, constantly learning. That's why I think what Alice does such a great job. She does training and education, there in Union Home. And so she has to stay on top of everything that's going on. And I think when you stay curious and you stay hungry to learn, no matter how old you are, Mark, you and I are 72, and we're still learning. And the podcast we've got coming up last week that we did with Arthur Priestin, Priestin Capital, about the new normal, fundamental changes in the mortgage market and the rise of the non-QM and how you can manage that risk. And then what we've got coming up this week with Dewar and Paul Orlando at Lender Price, what talking about the lenders can best leverage technology and how to drive opportunity now and in the future. And then what Sarah's doing over there at Candor, the new loan quality services that they're coming up with and the way that you can manage this. I mean, there's just so many ways we can do our business better. And Mark, I appreciate your comment. Rather than coming in at this as a co-host, as a know-it-all, you come in and go, Dave, I'm learning so much. And I love your enthusiasm for that. So appreciate that, Mark, very much for being here as a co-host. And of course,
David, I got to tell you, buddy, if I ever quit learning, I will retire. But right now I'm continuing to learn. I want to continue to learn. And I think that's the value of what we provide. And that's the value that I gain by interacting with all the great other people that on our podcast and all our customers that are clients that call in and ask questions, and our interaction on these interviews and these podcasts. It's just a interactive experience that I put right up there, like going to Disney World.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, I appreciate that. Well, I think it's a great comment, Alice. What he said is, if you're not learning, especially this is what will warm your heart as someone who heads up education and training and Union Home, is if you're not learning, you should retire. Not only I will retire, but you should retire when you stop learning and getting aggressive. Alice, maybe we should let you have that parting thought.
Oh, well, I agree with you guys. I'm trying to remember if it was a Vince Lombardi quote who said, you know, strategy gets you on the playing field, but education and learning pay the bills. Execution pays the bills. And then Jack Walsh was all about that you have to be able to execute in education to really be successful as a company. So I always put those two together and got to keep learning. Yeah, we don't know it all. This is a new market for all of us, so we're all still learning.
We're all learning, and it's going to be fast changing, especially as we deal with the next generation, the next demographic group coming into home ownership. We're going to have to go at it differently. It's going to require us to grow and change, and we're part of that, folks. That's what the purpose of this podcast is, to bring that to you. And Alice believed in it from the very, very beginning. Joined me right out of the gate. Has been a great, valuable contributor, and the various ones have come along all along the way. We're very grateful for this and the opportunity, but we're grateful for you, our listeners, so much. Next week, we have a special podcast. Tosh James, I've invited to come on. We pre-recorded this. It's an interview about things having to do with health. So we're departing from talking about mortgage industry, but as we look at how can we take better care of ourselves? We've lost several friends here in the last 90 days, two dear friends of mine, to cancer. And I'm going, what can we be doing, especially as we're joining the holiday? And he gives some great wisdom on that. So Tosh James is a PhD, and we'll talk about some health things and what we can be thinking about as we go into the new year and be a little wiser in what we put in our mouths, because it really starts with the food that we ingest. And so we're going to be talking about that. Hope you enjoyed that podcast. We'll be playing that next week. We will not have our regular podcast, but we'll be sharing the Tosh James interview, and I think you'll find it very interesting. I want to say again, special thank you to Adam, Les, Matt, David, Alice, Allen, and Mark for their contributions each and every week. We thank you as our listeners, and we thank our sponsors, Candor Technology, Finastra, Form Free, Total Expert, Simple Nexus, Mortgage Bankers Association of MBAs. We always refer to Mortgage Bankers Association of America. as well as Lenders One, the Mortgage Collaborative, Knowledge Coop, Mobility MMI, Modex, and Mortgage Advisory Tools. Thank you, listeners, for being here. You are the focus of this podcast and why we do it. Thank you for your feedback. Look forward to having you back next week, next year, actually, as we do return to regular programming at the first of the year. Thank you. Have a great week, everybody, and look forward to seeing you back here next week.
You've been listening to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Transformational Mortgage Solutions. Join us next week, and thanks for listening.